in verse 21, 1 Samuel chapter 4. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And if I can today, I want to preach something simple the Lord gave me on when the power goes out. Let us pray. Kind Jesus, we love you. God, I feel plugged in this morning. And God, I pray you let a little of your glory fall here. Lord, at least as much as these mortal bodies can stand. And God, I pray that the angels circle around this property today. God, that there be no evil thought. Lord, that the devil, he cannot get in any way. The Lord, you, Jesus Christ, rebuke him. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would set the table this morning. And God, that we would know that there is a higher power. And Lord, that higher power is you. Lord, by way of the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray, Jesus, Lord, if there's one here unsaved, may they come to these old-fashioned altars, bow down, confess their sin, take up their cross, and follow you. And God, if there are Christians here today, Lord, the power in their life is flickering. I pray, Jesus, they get a good connection this morning. And God, we'll praise you, Lord, for all you do. Lord, may we magnify and glorify the name of Jesus. And God will praise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the sweet, sweet Holy Ghost Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated if you can. And the Bible says that she named the child Ichabod, which means, where is the glory? Oh, the glory of the Lord is departed. I began to think about this, and when I began to think about it, I thought that there were some things that God's people did during this time that they shouldn't have done. The first thing is that they were disobedient. And whenever people are disobedient, they begin to lose the battles that they are facing. My friend, the Philistines came against them, and they began to slay God's people that day. Why? Because they had been living in disobedience. My friend, if there's a message that I could ever get over to the Christian today, it's to live in obedience under the authority of the Word of God. Live in obedience under the Spirit of God and His leadership, because if you neglect that in your life, you will go to battle, and you will lose the battle. Sure, you may not die in battle the first time, but you'll get injured. But I'm glad that we can take the whole armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God. There's a lot of people just taking it up, but they're not putting it on. Bless the Lord, we need to put it on. When you look at that, God revealed to me the other day, there's six articles of armor that we put on. The first three, the born-again believer already has. Can I get an amen? But He said, take the next three. I'm glad that I've put on, and I'm glad that I've taken up. But friend, there's still a battle ahead. The other day I was studying in Matthew, and in the first four chapters of Matthew, Brother Mike, you'll find the first chapter, there's the book of the genealogy. In the second chapter, there is the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And might I give a shout out to the Word of God? He was born of a virgin. And bless God, not only was there a birth, in chapter 3 there was a baptism. In verse 16 of chapter 3, there's Jesus in the middle of Jordan River. And when John baptized Him, bless God, the Holy Spirit showed up in the form of a dove. And there we see the Son of God. And the Father speaks from glory and says, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Thank God, God's getting Him ready after the baptism. Woo! I feel the Lord. God led Him in chapter 4 and verse 1. And the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus up into the wilderness. If you are in a wilderness this morning, ask the question to yourself, how did I get to the wilderness? Did the Spirit of God lead me to the wilderness? Or was I driven here by the enemy? But when the Spirit of God leads you to the wilderness, He's leading you there. for a reason. The devil tempted the Lord 3 times. And on the 3rd one there, he wanted him to do one thing. One thing the first time, he said, turn these stones into bread. After 40 days of fasting, our Lord was hungered. There his flesh was craving something to eat. And the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And he replied with the Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, quote, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And there the enemy didn't stop. Wouldn't it be nice if the devil only came one time and we defeated that temptation and then just gloriously lifted our hands in victory the rest of our days? But he always comes back. He's always coming around. He take him to the pinnacle of the temple. He said, cast thyself down, for the angels, he begins to quote Psalms 91, will lift thee up if thou dost, that to keep thee from dashing thy foot against the stone. And then the Lord replied, tempt not the Lord thy God. I'm telling you, but something transpired. You might already know this, but I didn't. But just looking at those simple scriptures, I saw that something's transpired from the first and the second to the third. The third time, he didn't question who he was anymore. Hallelujah. Thank God. He didn't say, if thou be the... Woo! Hallelujah! He recognized who he was in the beginning, but he's questioning who he is the first 2 times. But the 3rd temptation, he's wanting him to do something. He's wanting him to bow down. I told Brother Roger yesterday, if Jesus would have bowed down, it wouldn't have mattered if he'd have been born of a virgin. If Jesus would have bowed down, it wouldn't have mattered if he would have bled and died on the cross. If he had bowed down, it wouldn't have mattered if that he was buried in a borrowed tomb. If he had bowed down, it wouldn't have mattered if there was a resurrection. If he had bowed down, it would have been all in vain. But bless God, aren't you glad? He said, I'll worship the Lord God only. Hallelujah unto the Lamb. I'm telling you, bless God, he lives. He lives. He is sir, who he said he was. And bless God, he'll do what he said he'll do. Oh, thank God. I'm telling you, he didn't bow. And because he didn't bow, we don't have to burn. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, the devil is the second most powerful being in the universe. But the devil displays his ignorance here in the temptation. I'll tell you why. He's talking to God himself. He ought to know he ain't going to do what he thinks he can tempt him to do. But then there's something else. Whew. Remember verse 1. He was led up of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he was in the desert with Daddy for 40 days. He didn't have no deviled eggs out there to eat. He didn't have no deviled ham. He didn't have nothing. He was just eating no manna from the Father's hand. He was just in the desert with Daddy. And thank God, when you get along with your Heavenly Father, you'll grow stronger in the Spirit of God. You'll feel more of the power of God. Did you know God will tell you things that you didn't know? I'll tell you what, I'm telling this for the glory of God, but I had a woman call me the other day and she said, Brother Chris, she said, I'm sending biscuits up there to North Carolina for you. I'm sending 100 biscuits. I said, well, hallelujah. You know, sometimes somebody will send you a card and sometimes somebody will send you a check for your ministry or something to support you. And sometimes people send up prayers and they send a lot of things, but I've never been sent biscuits before. But she said, Brother Chris, I love you and your family so much, and God just put you on my heart, and I'm sending 100 biscuits. I just want to bless those kids and your family. I said, glory to God. She said, I just want you to do one thing for me. And I said, what is that? She said, I want you to pray that 2 lots will sell, because I want to be able to travel and go to these meetings where you go and do these things and just support. And I said, I'll pray. I said, matter of fact, I've been praying all morning. It was high noon. I said, I've been praying and reading all morning long. Matter of fact, I hadn't even left the couch. Just praying. And I said, I'll pray, I promise you. I said, I got a couple of lots that I need to sell. I said, I'd like to move. I'd like to sell the house I'm in. I'd like to move closer to the church. You pray for me. But boy, something God spoke to me. I'd been in His presence. I'd been in the wilderness with the Father. Right as I was hanging up that phone, God spoke to my heart, and I said, the lots are sold, the lots are sold. I hung that phone up. I didn't think another thing about it. I didn't check my email that evening. But the next morning I got up, and when I drove out and got service, and that little message popped up and said, Brother Chris, your prayer worked. Said, those people took those lots yesterday. Said, we'll take them. Go ahead and call the lawyer. I said, didn't surprise me. God already told me. Oh, in the same week, talking with God. Brother Mike, in the middle of the night I woke up and God said, pray for this man. Boy, I began to pray. He said, pray for Paul Lambert, a preacher in South Carolina. I began to pray for Paul Lambert. I didn't know what he was going through. Next night at prayer meeting, man in our church says, Brother Chris, we need to pray for Paul Lambert. Got a call from him. He's been hurting real bad. I said, glory, I couldn't even hold my head up. God, I just got down. God will speak to you when you get along with Him. Oh, we're not a mind reader and we don't do those things, but I'll tell you this, if you'll get in touch with heaven, heaven will get in touch with you. James chapter 4 and verse 7 and verse 8, and you'll tie it in with Matthew chapter 4 when you get time. But the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. And then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Look what happened in chapter 4. Oh, glory to God. I got to move on here. But I see in disobedience, if you're disobedient, you're going to lose some battles. And then we see, not only that, we see that they were making decisions without God's guidance. Not only do we see that, but they're also desecrating the holy things of God. Not only were they taking the animals of the sacrifice, the meat, and eating it before it was given to God. Those 2 sons of Eli, Phinehas and Hophni, there that they were doing things wrong, but then we find that they were laying with prostitutes at the door of the temple. I mean, listen, that's bad, isn't it? Down at the church house. Prostitution going on, and the priests are lying with the women. Oh, God, help us. No wonder the power was going out right here. And then they were deceiving God's work, but then the devastation came. God will penalize those who live in disobedience. And the judgment came, and when the judgment came, they thought they'd go ahead and make that decision to get the ark without going before God, and they brought it into the battle, and the enemy took the power. Has the enemy taken your power? And so she names him Ichabod. Death in the camp. The 2 sons are dead. The servant tells Eli about the deaths, and he dies as well. Friend, I want to tell you, we've got too many people dying in the battles that are going on in the warfare. We need to strengthen one another. Pick one another up, but it'll be up to you to get the power of God on your life. I remember years ago Calvin Evans preaching. I mean, he told about it. He said, I felt like I was losing power with God. He said, I locked myself in a room for 10 days. And for 10 days, God began to work in my life. I was talking with Cal Ray and I talked to Roger about it. Roger was there at the meeting after he had come out of that room. Billy Fields said, he said to Roger, said, that old man's going to die or I'm going to die one tonight. I had never heard anything like it. Friend, you know what, preachers, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you real and I'm going to be honest with you. I believe the reason why God's not blessing us like He wants to, it's because we're feasting and playing instead of fasting and praying. Can I get an amen? Don't shut me down here this morning. I'm not here for a popularity contest. I'm not here to try to get called anywhere to any other church. But what I am, I'm telling you, if you want power with God, there's power there for us to reach up and touch at any time in our lives. But we got to be willing to crucify the flesh. Oh, I preach sometimes. People say, you act like you're mad. I said, I am. What are you mad about? I said, I'm mad at the devil. Lord, if you've seen what the devil's just done in my life, it'd make you mad. What he does to others, and it breaks my heart. And you know, we're living way below the power where God wants us to live. Some people want to say, well, now we'll be Pentecostal now. I don't care what you call me. It does not matter. God makes me do things sometimes I don't want to do. And sometimes, I want to make sure it's the voice of God. Yesterday during this service, I was right there and Sonny was sitting right beside me. And there God said, get on your face. I'll go to the altar, God. He said, I didn't tell you to go to the altar. Get on your face. I got on my face. He said, stick your head up under the front seat, the pew there. He said, get up under it. You're not worthy. I got my head up under there as far as I could because I'm not worthy. But bless God, I'm telling you what, I sure am glad that this old unworthy country boy got welcomed in by the great big hands of God into the family and born again by His love and His power. Hallelujah. I don't know how long I've been preaching and I don't know that it matters, but I feel God. Friend, I feel Him strong this morning. Samson's power went out when he disobeyed God. Peter's power went out when his eyes were focusing on the liquid instead of the Lord. Friend, his power went out and all of the disciples' power went out until God flipped the power switch of glory at Pentecost when the power plant of heaven, bless God, touched earth. And they went out that day different than what they had ever done. Why, they had the fire in their bones, Jeremiah talked about. They had something in that upper room they'd never had before. God had lived in a temple, but He ain't there no more. He moved inside the hearts of man at that very hour, and this old world ain't been the same since He gave the church the power. Oh, yes, thank God we need this power that God has for us. Many times the lights or an outlet may go out, and you know, when that happens, there's too many things running, drawing power from that circuit. And it trips the switch. And you know what? There's a lot of times that the old switch gets tripped in our lives. But I'm glad we know where to go to get it fixed. And bless God, you go to the control panel. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He'll help you get it back to working again. But then we see that sometimes something may touch the power line during a storm. And when it touches that line, then the power goes out. Boy, I want to keep on the firing line, don't you? I want to keep, as the old preacher said, I want to keep the line clean between me and heaven. I want to keep it clean. Something may touch that line if you're in a storm. Something's trying to touch that line in your life. Something's trying to rob you of that power. And it's easy for something small to touch our life. And it just takes something small to rob us of that power. Matter of fact, faulty wiring can cause trouble. That's why it's important to get in the Word of God and to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You have got to have a ground, amen. I'm glad that I'm grounded. I am rooted in the foundation, the cornerstone of the church, Jesus Christ. Just a few things, and I'll try to quit. I ain't going to promise anything. When the power goes out, the first thing that happens is it gets dark. I told Cal Ray, I said, "Buddy, you preached all over what I was going to preach." It gets dark. And the first thing we do is we try to run and find a flashlight or a candle or in our neck of the woods, a lantern. Why? Because you can't see. And those things that bother us in the light really don't bother us in the dark because we can't see them. That'll preach. Matter of fact, we tried to get ready the other morning real early to go out and we couldn't see in the bathroom. And finally it occurred to me, well, I can use a flashlight. And I put a flashlight in there, but my boys didn't have that flashlight. Their hair was stuck flat on one side, sticking up on the other side. And I said, oh my. But things that are unrevealed in our life will not bother us. You know, and I couldn't help but think about America. And when I think about America, I think about Psalms 9:17. And the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. We've got a battle going on. And Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I think America is to the point to where she's got things backwards. And John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Friend, it's time to get right. Bless God, everybody in here can get closer to God. Everybody in here can get more power. Starting with me, we can all get closer to God. It doesn't have to take another 9/11. All you got to do is just look back to Calvary and you'll see everything you need to get what you need to keep the power at an all-time high in your life. You know, one thing we do need in these days we're living in is preaching. Matter of fact, just not preaching. We need old-fashioned Holy Ghost. Yes, I said Holy Ghost. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost. God called men to stand in the place where the angels fear to trod and preach the God-breathed in there, divinely inspired Word of truth, and preach it with every fiber of their being. And when they do that, we'll see a move of God take place in the church today. You're getting quiet on me. Listen to me. Listen, we need this. Let me help you get back where we need to be. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to be too long or too short, but I want to say that we have problems in America. When we have nominees for Person of the Year in Time magazine, when they want to nominate a young lady named Miley Cyrus. Oh, I knew that'd get your attention. Listen, doing some devilish, provocative, lustful dance, and everybody thinking, oh, that's a good thing. Listen, I'll tell you what, we better start being holy again and living holy. Might I say dressing holy? Listen, speaking holy. We ought to get back to the fundamentals of the faith and get the power of God on our lives. Oh, God help us. God help her. It just breaks my heart for that young girl, that little girl that had all those little shows and where kids, where your family could watch them and they were clean, and then all of a sudden something happened. You know, I believe with all my heart that young woman's been possessed by a devil. I believe that. I believe she is. If you'll notice, her tongue's always sticking out and her eyes, every time I see something in the paper or on TV, she just looks wild and not in her mind. I pray that she'll get the mind of Christ. I pray that on her way, that little sweet, little innocent Hannah Montana, bless God, I hope that some man of God walks by her way and shares with her how much Jesus loves her. Rebuke that possession of that spirit. Bless God, and may that tongue that she has, that sowing corruption, start sowing the seed of Christ and His gospel. Oh my. You know, we need an agitator in the pulpit. We need an agitator. You know, washing machine, there's that thing in the middle. They started taking them out of a lot of them. But they got that thing in the middle. That thing's called an agitator. And if you had a big stain, bless God, that agitator would get in there. And it'd start working it. Whew. Just start working it. Get right down in the fabric. I mean, down in it. Bless God, the blood of Jesus will do what Clorox can't. Amen. Thank God. But I'll tell you what, God will give you a little shout. Amen. A spray on it when you get it out. I'm telling you, bless God, that agitator would get down in there and get that stain out. And sometimes it would shake. When that thing's moving, it's shaking and it's moving. Whoa, glory. I thank God for the time that He shook my soul and got the stain of sin out and took His blood and washed me. And every once in a while, because I'm walking in the world, I still get a little mud on me. But I'm glad I still just get put back in the machine again. And bless God, He just washes me clean, dries me out. Bless God, I'm telling you, I'm glad for Jesus. And we need more agitators who will preach things in the pulpit like against drinking. Bless God, amen. Against fornication, against adultery, against lying, against backstabbing, against busybodies, against gossiping, against lying, against stealing, and stealing from God that's not tithing, bless God, and blasphemy. We need some old-fashioned agitators to stir up the pulpit, stir up the church, and stir up the gifts, bless God. After that, you probably don't want me to come to your church. But maybe I wouldn't want to if you're not willing to change. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. I don't want this message to come across like I'm somebody that knows it all, because I don't know anything. I don't know much. And I'm reminded of what old Gypsy Smith said. He said, I've not been to your colleges, but I've been to Calvary. He said, I can't look through a telescope and name a single star, but I know the bright morning star. He said, I don't know anything about horticulture. He said, I can't name a single plant. He said, but I know the rose of Sharon and the lily of my valley. He said, I don't know anything about geology. He said, but I'm standing. My feet are planted firmly on the rock of ages, and all other ground is sinking sand. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Oh, my. And we see our light has come from God. Psalms 18:28, for Thou wilt light my candle. Oh, Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. And then in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness. That wasn't me. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Oh, bless God. Not only does it get dark, When the power goes out, you know what you do? You know what I do? I get in contact with the power provider. Oh, glory. He's my provider. And the church serves as a building for the provider to live in. Oh, my. Now, I'm talking about the individual church and then the church where we come like we are today. But we call because that we know that if we call them, well, like it's just simple. We know that if we call our power provider, without a doubt, they will get our power back on. At some point, they're going to help us get that power back on. We might have to wait a little while. But we're confident they're going to get that power back. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you." Oh, what's happening? We're just not asking enough. We're not seeking enough. We're not knocking enough. I'll tell you this. I'm going to keep asking. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. First letter of those words. Just keep asking. You know, I talked with a lineman. Brother Jim Kennersley comes down with us. He wasn't able to come this year. He's regretting it. He's watching right now. Brother Jim told me something. He said, "I'll tell you this." He said, "If your power flickers 3 times, he said, that third time, if it flickers, it's going off and it's staying off till the service men come out and put that fuse back in that transformer." You know what I thought of? I thought the Lord told Peter, "You'll deny me thrice before the cock crows." Brother Mike Holcomb, and I want to tell you, the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. The power was gone. Ooh. Mark 16, though. Third day rolled around, and Jesus came forward out of the darkness of the grave. The light was beginning to shine greater than ever before. Oh, and then he sees Mary and says, "Mary, go tell my disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee." Praise God. You know what he did? He got him over there and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Oh, he's the service man. He's the servant. Matter of fact, he was the lineman. Praise God. He climbed the pole at Calvary. I said he climbed the pole at Calvary. Anybody else happy about that today? Oh, glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. 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 Yeah. Lord, you let me share what you want. And don't let me speak if you don't. I would apologize if I could. My flesh is embarrassed, but my spirit doesn't care at this point. Some of you ought to. I hope you can feel what I can. Oh, I feel heavenly. I feel a power. Oh, Lord. Oh. Oh, my. Number three. Oh. It gets cold or hot when the power goes off. Right now, it being winter, if that power goes out, we had it happen to us, it gets cold. If all you've got is electric heat, you're going to suffer for that. I'm telling you, the heat pump won't pump when the power's out. And it's hard to pump out prayers whenever the power's gone out. Oh, God, help me. Whew. And when there's no power and it's cold, you'll run the risk of your water freezing.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Ours froze up. My wife, it was 10 o'clock last week, 9 o'clock, and the boys went out. Every school was out of school but Carolina Christian Academy. She said, well, I don't see the big deal. Yeah, it's cold outside, but we have heat. And boys went out and come back in and said, Daddy, it's -3 below 0 out there. And she went to get in the shower. And she said, did you cut that water off? I fell asleep on the couch and I didn't know what I'd done. I said, I may have cut it. I don't know. I can't rightfully say I cut that water off. And she said, well, I left it running in the kitchen. Now, that's pretty simple to me. You run the water to keep your pipes from freezing. And my wife told me that, which stimulated the Scripture. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Amen. But then it says that He might sanctify and cleanse it by the wash with the washing by the water of the Word. Today many are cold and few are frozen. We need more called and chosen. I'll tell you what's happened. A lot of people's let the water freeze and they won't allow the Word to wash them anymore. The lack of power gets our nourishment. All the food and everything that you've put, if the power's out long enough, you're going to lose it all. You're going to lose that stuff. We had an old dog one time and he We had a freezer outside on the back porch, and I had some stuff in there, some meat that people had given me from killing things, and also there was a big old bass in there I'd caught down here. I had that thing wrapped up in a big black bag, and I thought, one of these days now I'm going to get that thing mounted. Well, little did we know it, we'd been gone preaching revival, and we'd came back, and when we came back, I went out back and looked, and the dog had chewed through the power cord. Now, I want to tell you something. I think the correct word would be putrid. I opened up that freezer, and I'm telling you, you know what that smelled like? I'm going to tell you, sin. That smells like we smell when the power goes out. We stink. Well, lack of power gets our nurse. Once it gets our testimony, and I'm gonna wrap this up and close. But I said, Lord, I want more of Your power. A month ago, I said, Lord, I feel like I'm losing power because of Your daddy. He helped cause what went on here today. Because of his testimony. And there was a series of events, of things that went through in our life that we wanted. The first thing that happened, our little girl got sick. Many of you were praying, our little girl got sick. And I want to tell you something. When you call us and ask us to pray, we pray. We don't say, yeah, we'll pray. No, we'll write it down on a board in our prayer room. Amen, Brother Paul. We'll write it on there, and every time men come in there to pray, we'll read them names off that board and we'll pray. Patty Duncan's about middle way down on that list in the first column.
Yeah, bless God.
And you know, whenever I said, Lord, I need more of Your power, there's a price always to be paid. That's the last point. Because if you got power, you get a power bill every month. And if you don't pay that bill sooner or later, they're going to come cut your power off. And if you don't pay the price, if you don't carry your cross, and if you don't crucify the flesh, Galatians 2:20, and if you don't do these things, you're going to pay the price for it. You're going to lose power of God in your life. Now, this is good. And I said, Lord, I want more power. I want it. My little girl got sick. I mean, 8 days, 10 days, she's still sick. We took her to the doctor. They said, it's a virus. On. And we're sitting there wondering, God, is everything all right? A few more days pass. Sister Parson, I can't identify with how my wife feels when our babies get sick. I can't. It's something in a mother that I just can't do.
Amen.
But I remember I got a phone call. And I was staying with her at home because she was sick. And now 10, 14 days had passed already, and I got this phone call. My wife's on the other end. She's on the cell phone, and she says, you need to get ready right now. You need to get Callista. And I said, what? And she said, we have to take her to the Children's Health Care of Atlanta now.
Right.
Her blood report came back. It's bad, and we got to go. Now, what you didn't know, a lot of you didn't know. Some of you may have known. There was a little girl in our church got a bad blood report, and I went to that same hospital with that little teenage girl. My wife was a wreck. My wife hadn't probably cried in our marriage in 12 years, hadn't cried 10 times. She's not emotional. She just gets the job done. She does what she needs to do. I want to tell you something that day. When I got off that phone, her mom and daddy was there, and they saw my face, and immediately they knew something was wrong. And her daddy looked at me and said, is something wrong? And I couldn't even answer, and then I looked up. because in 5 seconds, there was a million pictures of my little girl went through my head, and a million pictures of things that I have seen in the ministry went through my head. And during that time, Brother David, I'm telling you what, I began to crumble inside. 5 seconds, but when I heard, is everything all right? And Jesus spoke. And I looked at Him and I said, everything is fine and it will be all right. Brother Sean, we went down there to that hospital and I saw sick kids everywhere, laying everywhere. And we went back through there and my little girl smiling the whole time. She don't even know why she's there. She didn't even know what was going on. Don't have to take a little of your blood. She's tougher than both them boys put together. She said, oh, Daddy, and this mom, I don't want to do this again. I've got to give blood. I said, yeah, but you're tough. She said, okay. She smiled the whole time, took that blood out of my baby girl. The doctor came back and said, everything's fine. She's just had a virus that caused this. And so we're getting ready to go. And then he comes back in and says, no, there's something else. We're going to have to check. Another hour passes. We're sitting, and my wife is just sitting there trembling. And I'm sitting there and I'm just keep talking to her. God's already told me she's going to be all right. God's already I stood in the pulpit and said, my daughter is healed. And then we still had to wait on more tests to go by. But finally one day, glory, I feel Him again. One day I'd prayed through. Now some of you older folks here know what praying through is. I prayed through. And praise God, when I prayed through, the Lord told me, and I stood up that Wednesday night and I said, my little girl don't have to go back to the doctor and get another blood test. I know Crystal probably want to take her, but she don't have to because God's already told me she's all right. Now during that time, something else went on. The little girl was sick. I go to the gas station. As I go to the gas station, I've just been to a funeral, and I come out of the funeral. Now we got the family in there, and Kelly's going, Daddy, I don't feel good, and I'm a little upset. And I said, Devil, I'm going to witness to this guy at the gas pump. I'm going to win him to Jesus. I got out of that car. I began to pump. Hey, sir, how are you? I'm fine. I said, well, I'll just go home with you today. You got groceries. I'm ready to go eat. Just making small talk, and I said, well, I'm Chris Rumfelt, and I shook his hand. He shook my hand. He said, oh, I know you. And I said, really? And he went, yeah, and it ain't all good either. And I said, well, why don't you tell me? Enlighten me. I'd like to know. Maybe it's true. He said, I know about you. He said, I know your little secrets. I said, ooh, yes. This is going to get good. And he said, I know about you. He said, you like to hit women and beat on them. I said, wow, never heard that one. I went around, opened the car door, and I said, honey, this man is accusing me. She said, what in the world? And he kept going, yeah, I know. And his face distorted. I'm telling you, he was possessed with the devil. And I'm going to tell you what I did. And I didn't handle it like that preacher that the cow talked about. I was at that point to where my little baby had been sick. I'd been pushed about as far as I could. And now somebody's accusing me of something crazy. And you know what I did? I looked at him and I said, the Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And that's what's going on right here. Man, he put up that gas nozzle in that hole. He tried to get out. I said, what's your name anyway? What's your last name? I said, don't be a coward. What's your name? I thought he was going to say Legion. He started to get out of the truck. And when he started to get out of the truck, and I said, God, if he gets out of there, I'm going to put him back in it. Now, what was at risk that day is this. The devil wanted to get my power. And he wanted to get me to the point to where I would make a mistake. To where I couldn't handle it. Because listen, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I was at the point. I was in dire straits spiritually. I'm seeking God. I want His power. And matter of fact, I feel Him strong. But it didn't get strong for a while. It was hard. I mean, there were days of laboring and for a man to do that. And I'm going to tell you, God is my witness. That fella, he started to get out and he had that look and he just got right back. God took his hand and pushed him back in that truck. He didn't squeal no tire when he pulled off. He just pulled off nice and slow and got out of there. Amen, brother. We're not alone. My assistant pastor knew who he was. He called him and said, What did you do? He said, I didn't do a thing. I don't know what you're talking about. The devil. The devil. And then the next day, he sends Brother Israel a text saying, I recant anything I might have said. He forwards that to me, and you know where we're at? North Atlanta, headed to the hospital with my baby. The next Sunday, our people don't know about this, and some of you are here. Some things you just don't tell until God tells you to. A man came in our church. He came in, he listened, I watched him. He's lost. End of the service, I go out. He's an astrologer. I'd preached on the Star of Bethlehem that morning. I reached out and shook his hand. I said, sir, it was a pleasure to have you at First Free Will Baptist Church this morning. And I said, I hope you'll come back. And he said, I won't. I said, well, we're glad you came today. And so when he said that, he wanted to kind of engage me in a further conversation. He said, I'm way beyond all this. I said, really? Oh, yeah, I'm way past this stuff. I grew up with this kind of stuff. And he said, I just wanted to see if anything has changed, and it hadn't. So I started to shout. I'm glad some things will never change. Woo! If you had shouted, I'd have quit right then. And then I say this, well, just because you were raised up in it doesn't mean that you're in the family of God. Look, come over his face. Face got distorted. Slammed the door open on the front of the church. Went out there and turned around and I chased him down. And I said, and one more thing. Brother Locklear, I said, Jesus loves you and wants to save you. He died for you. And he began to jerk and shake. And he went on off and went on. And the next Sunday, the people that brought him come to the front of the church with tears in their eyes and said, Brother Chris, I want to ask you to forgive me for bringing that devil in this church. And I said, Sister, you're doing just exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to try to. I said, I wished he had received the Lord. And she said, yeah, but you don't understand. I shouldn't have brought him. And I said, what do you mean? She said, he had a gun, and I was so afraid he was getting ready to shoot and kill you. Aren't you glad that when we have the power, that the enemy can't touch us? Matter of fact, anybody that's homeless doesn't have a power bill, and I'm glad that I have a home in glory. Oh, my lands in heaven. Uncle Leonard always said, if you want more power with God, then pray. Guy King said, no one is a firmer believer in the power of prayer than the devil. Not that he practices it, but he suffers from it. William Cowper said, Satan trembles when the weakest Christian is on his knees. C.H. Spurgeon said, the power of prayer can never be overrated. They who cannot serve God by preaching need not regret. If a man can but pray, he can do anything. He who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal. Friend, you got all the power that you want. I'll tell this little story as I close. Oh, George Whitfield. You've heard Brother Roger, I'm sure, talk about George Whitfield. Old George Whitfield was my kind of preacher. He'd preach 3 to 6 hours. He'd preach till his throat bled. And one day he was headed to a city to preach. And every little town he'd go to, every little village he'd pass through, every little community, they'd say, "Hey, would you stop and preach for us?" No, Brother Whitfield couldn't say no. And he'd preach. He'd go to the next little community and they'd say, "Oh, please, preacher, preach for us." He'd preach. Finally, he got to the city and he preached, and they had him a hotel room, and he resided in the second story of that little hotel. And as he laid down that night, his little body just wore and frail from a hard day and a travel and preaching many times. He heard something out the side, and he walked over to the balcony, and he got a candle and he lit the little candle. He went out there with that candle on that balcony to see what the clamor was about, and the people came and they said, "Oh, Brother Whitfield, we've worked in the fields and worked in the plants and not been able to get here." He said, "Would you please preach for us?" He went and got his Bible and he said, "I'll preach till the light goes out." And that old man stood there with that candle and that Bible in hand and began to preach with power. They said the tears began to flow from their faces and cut white furrows down their blackened cheeks. The next morning they went to get Brother Whitfield up, and they knocked on the door and no one came to the door. And finally, after several trials, they went and got a key and opened it up and went in, and they found him on his knees, a little burnt-out candle, his Bible open. And he had left this world and entered the glory world. And the next day, the paper read, he preached till the light went out. I hope that you understand that the power never went out of his life. The power just took him out of this life into eternal life. I'm nothing but a man. You're nothing but a man. Women, I want to tell you, there is a higher power. We can get all that we want of that if we want it. And if you're lost here today, I pray you be saved.